to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Manchester City is still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the Gao Studios in Houston, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
I'm very much linked to FIFA and its interests, and the interests are very dear to me. And this is why I've taken this decision. I would like to thank everyone who has always supported me in a constructive and loyal manner. As president of FIFA, I decided to stand again to be elected because I was convinced that it was the best option for football. The elections are closed, but the challenges that FIFA is facing have not come to an end. FIFA needs profound restructuring.
That is the translated words of ousted FIFA president Sepp Blatter. Welcome to Soccer Matters. I'm Matt Peterson filling in for Glenn Davis. Glenn Davis preparing for the Women's World Cup up in Canada. He'll join us on the show in about 20 minutes, but I'm sure we have a lot of interesting callers tonight. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. A week when a Copa del Rey wonder goal from Lionel Messi and an upcoming fantastic Champions League final might be a bit overshadowed by the announcement today that Sepp Blatter, who was elected for his fifth term as FIFA president on Friday, very controversially has announced his intention to resign earlier today to the delight of most across the soccer world. 713-780-3776 with you till 9 o'clock. Big show on tap tonight. Tom Marshall, excellent reporter down in Guadalajara, Mexico, covers the Mexican League and all sorts of things with a Mexican Soccer Federation. Talk with him about today's news, as well as Santos Laguna winning the Liga MX spring season, as well as what's on tap for the Mexican national team this summer. We'll also talk with Christine Latham. She is going to be one of the analysts at the Women's World Cup next month, or this month, going through next month. Christine Latham, a former Canadian international, played at Nebraska. Should be Glenn Davis's on-air partner for several of those games. 713-780-3776. The big news with Sepp Blatter. What is your reaction to it? We have been surprised so many times with Sepp Blatter in FIFA. I think this was one of the biggest surprises. I think some were surprised on Friday he was reelected, but for those who have followed closely, probably not. But the fact that he resigned so quickly, or announced his intention to resign just 4 days after he was voted into power to serve a complete 20 years, seems like he is under investigation. Sources from the FBI and from the United States saying that he might already be cooperating with the FBI and Department of Justice. And part of this cooperation is his announcement today. He was maybe a little bit remorseful, maybe a little bit more honest than in the past. As of Friday, he talked about how great FIFA is, and it's, you know, such a great legacy for him. He talked,
I'm the president of everybody.
Go ahead, Michael.
I'm the president of everybody.
Yeah, the president of everybody. I loved at the end, Michael, he said, let's go FIFA, let's go FIFA, as if there's some sort of team. And they weren't ridiculed around the world. But a big day and many people saying what's next. We'll get to that. But I want to hear from you. 713-780-3776. How big of a news is this? Of course, two World Cups now possibly back in play. I think a lot of people are wondering about 2018 in Russia, 2022 in Qatar. Both controversial. Qatar, of course, much more controversial in the fact that actual lives are being lost. So far, 1,200 migrant workers have died building those stadiums in Qatar. 4,000 more projected to die. It's just amazing that the government of Qatar has projected those numbers themselves, yet they're still building the stadiums all in the name of a World Cup set for 2022. So we will see what comes out of this. For the moment, Sepp Blatter will be in power probably no more than 4 months. By FIFA rules, the candidates need about 4 months to build their case, and people need to sit back and figure out who they want to vote for. So Blatter probably in power up to 4 months unless something happens on the indictment front and he may have to leave sooner. But the big news today, of course, Sepp Blatter announcing his intention to resign. And, you know, a guy that just a while ago was talking about how he wanted to someday win a Nobel Prize. Of all things to say, after all he's done, a Nobel Prize is not in the offing. A very complicated man, 79 years of age, his fifth election. And one of the funny things he said today about the restructuring of FIFA was that it needs profound restructuring, and among that, term limits. So a guy who himself had his fifth four-year renewal on Friday would be going 20 years and counting if not for this, an opportunity to talk about term limits. So what do you think about this? 713-780-3776. Big show with you till 9 o'clock. Glenn Davis will join us from Vancouver in a bit. But what's on your mind tonight? Do you want to talk Sepp Blatter? What's next for FIFA? Do you want to talk about Saturday's Champions League final? It's Barcelona going for the treble. Juventus going for their first Champions League win in a long time. How about Messi's goal in the Copa del Rey on Saturday as they won their second trophy? Let's go to our first caller. Bob wants to talk about the re-election and why Sepp Blatter may have resigned. Bob, welcome to Soccer Matters.
Hey, I've got just a little bit different angle on this. This guy knows what he's doing. He knew what was coming down the turnpike. He held on to the election to prevent the first world countries from getting their guy elected, knowing that if there is a second election and having to go through this 6 months hiatus where he can stay president, the third world, who has the majority of votes, will still get their pockets lined. This guy's no dummy. He knew what he was doing, and he could have resigned but didn't, and I think that's what's going on with this deal.
Yeah, it's a very good point, Bob. I think you raise a good point. By getting reelected, it sort of stalls this. It's a four-month time for possible more corruption to manifest itself, and some people are speaking out saying all the possible replacements are in FIFA. Now, whether they're innocent or guilty, some would say they're guilty by association. The main challenger, Prince Ali bin Al Hussein from Jordan, he seems to be the favorite. He's the one that lost to Blatter and conceded. You have others like Michel Platini, a former World Player of the Year, the protester, as the New York Times is calling him, David Gill. Some would say you want an absolute outsider, someone that hasn't ever been in FIFA, maybe hasn't ever been in soccer, to really clean this thing up. What do you think, Bob? Looks like we lost Bob. Let's go to Novo and his thoughts on this one. Novo, welcome to Soccer Matters.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, I don't think Sepp should have resigned. My view is that this is a European conspiracy all along. FIFA, just like many international institutions, have, you know, corruption here and there. The fact of the matter is that when any Western European nation, when they bid for something and they don't get it, they cry corruption. Now, where was the corruption when the United States got the World Cup in 1994? Where was the corruption cries when Germany hosted the World Cup? But when the World Cup went to Africa or is going to the Middle East, then Western Europeans are going berserk. Look, if they don't want the rest of the world to participate, then they can go have their own UEFA tournament if they want to have that. The bottom line is that the world is not just Europe. It is called World Cup. It's a World Football Federation. So it has to be made up of all independent nations, and they should all have their votes. Now, nobody likes corruption, okay? But the bottom line is that the corruption investigation and what have you is being used as a tool to drive SEP out of office because of some hidden agendas, geopolitical agendas. So people should take this with a grain of salt. For instance, now, you're already hearing talks that they're going to revolt for the 2018 World Cup and the 2022 World Cup hosting. That's total nonsense. The decision has been made. Those who have been chosen should host the tournament, period.
But, Nova, what if those were awarded, while so many people speculate, under the wrong terms, under corruption, with backroom deals being made, with payoffs being made? They weren't awarded in the proper way, with a FBI indictment showing $150 million in bribes just for South Africa. Who's to say the same thing didn't happen with Qatar and Russia?
Yeah, that is true. That is a valid case. If there is evidence of corruption, then those who have participated in it should be prosecuted. But please, let me ask you this question. Why is it that it is only when the tournaments go to non-Western European nations that we hear talks about corruption? I mean, the FIFA has not changed. I remember in the early 80s, there was a former FIFA president called Juan Antonio Samaranch. Those who follow soccer know that the way he was also driven out of office was through allegations of corruption. Funny enough, Antonio Samaranch was a Brazilian. So the Europeans ganged up together, they threw him out, and Sepp Blatter, coincidentally, was one of the champions of those who were driving out Juan Antonio Samaranch. Just the same way Michael Platini, you know, he's a nonsense. He's a mutant. All his goal is to become FIFA president. FIFA does not belong to Western Europe, okay? If they want to dominate it, then they can dominate their UEFA. It is called World Football Federation.
It doesn't belong to Europe. If it belonged to Europe, then Sepp Blatter would probably be out of power a long time ago. Now, Sepp Blatter, one of his legacies was rotating the World Cups throughout the world, and that included the United States, that included South Africa and Korea, that included South Africa, then Qatar, and then Russia. But I think the difference with Germany and the United States and even Korea, where there were existing stadiums in those places, there was existing infrastructure. Qatar doesn't have that. South Africa didn't have that. And it just screamed of corruption based off the stadiums itself.
That is wrong. That's wrong. That is wrong. Your views here are fundamentally wrong. Let me tell you this. There is nowhere it is said, okay, if those other nations don't have the facilities and infrastructures, okay, to host the tournament, okay, you can just rotate it between Germany, Deutschland, and United States, and forget the rest of the world. No, it is a world tournament made of participating nations. Therefore, each of these countries have a right to bid and host this tournament. And the point I was trying to make before I forget was that FIFA has not changed for the past 30 years. If there is corruption in FIFA today, there was corruption 30 years ago. Therefore, the same people who voted for Germany must have also been influenced by corrupt malpractices. So which means Germany, by getting the tournament, also must have paid bribes to Sepp and his cronies. Therefore, one can also make the case that the United States, when they got the tournament in 94, they also may have paid bribes through various channels. That is a valid case anybody can make. because if FIFA is a corrupt institution, therefore, it must have also accepted bribes from these other nations.
Fair point, Novo. Fair point. I can't disagree with that. You can't say any bid over the last 30, 50 years has ever been fair. And I think that's the problem. That's the problem. I mean, I don't think anyone's focusing on Qatar or Russia. I just think it's there's workers dying in Qatar, so it's an easier point of corruption to point out.
Let me tell you this. Where was all this talk about corruption? I'll guarantee you this. If Britain had gotten the World Cup, the right to host the World Cup instead of Qatar, we won't be talking about this nonsense about corruption now. I'm not excusing corruption. I mean, it should be wiped out of the organization. But if Britain had gotten the right, I guarantee you, none of these lousy European media will be propagating all this talk of corruption and African nations collecting money, because I see a tinge of propaganda whenever they talk about third world countries. As a host, you also made that reference there. Third world countries. I mean, there's no country is third world countries, because I don't see your basis for defining a nation as a third world nation. That's a flawed position. And these are some of the things that I think Sepp, with all his flaws, he's not a perfect human being. I don't know him personally, but I believe that one of his legacies after all this will be that he made FIFA to be equitable, which means the smaller nations have a stake and they have a chance at benefiting from FIFA.
Yeah, but don't you think it goes too far? Countries like Montserrat that have 6,000 people have the same voting power as a country like China or the United States or Mexico?
No. It is fairly legal. Perfect. And that is the way it should be. For instance, now, a state like Texas or California, okay, with over 20-something million people, okay, only elects two senators to the United States.
But they also get way more congressmen in the House of Representatives.
No, I understand. But hold on. They elect only two senators. Now, that is a country, okay? Britain, United Kingdom is a country. Although they have their duplicity where when they want to compete for tournaments and walk up representation, they say, we are Britain, we are United Kingdom, we are, Ireland and Wales and what have you, and Scotland. So, look, no, if you want to change it, then you change the rules. And when you change the rules, then those other nations have the right to say, we're not going to participate. And guess what? If they don't participate, then you can no longer call it a World Cup.
Well, thank you, Novo. We appreciate it. You got 8 minutes. We gave you plenty of time. Thank you so much for your contrarian view. We like perspective here. We like different opinions. Novo, thanks for the call.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
We're going to take our first break. Plenty to get to with you till 9 o'clock when we come back. We want more calls. 713-780-3776. Novo thought Blatter should not have resigned. What do you think? Were all the previous World Cup bids corrupt? Are we focusing too much attention on Qatar and Russia and South Africa? What's next for FIFA? A lot going on this week. Can Barcelona get the treble? Can Juventus finally break through in the Champions League? Plenty to talk to you. This is Soccer Matters with you until 9 o'clock. Glenn Davis joins us live from Vancouver. Coming up next, 713-780-3776 with Michael Carroll, our producer. I'm Matt Peterson.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the Gau Studios in Houston. Here's Glenn Davis.
Although the members of FIFA have given me the new mandate, have elected, re-elected me president, this mandate does not seem to be supported by everybody in the world of football, as supporters, clubs, players, those who inspire life in football.
Those are the translated words of Sepp Blatter from his press conference today, in which he announced his intention to resign as president of FIFA after being elected to his fifth term. Matt Peterson in for Glenn Davis tonight on Soccer Matters. Glenn will join us live from Vancouver with a inside view from the Women's World Cup. Let's go right back to the phones. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Next up, Arnold, you're on Soccer Matters.
Yes, good evening. I'd like to make a couple of comments regarding this FIFA issue with Sepp Blatter and so forth. One, I think your premise about the stadiums is not entirely true. In fact, it's off. Because a country like Brazil that has tens and tens of stadiums had to build stadiums to host the World Cup. The reason, one of the reasons why there's this whole issue about corruption that's bubbling to the surface, that has bubbled to the surface with FIFA is, whenever, like Novo said, the guy that called earlier, whenever Britain especially, the English, whenever they don't get their way in terms of the winning the bid to host the World Cup, they always cry corruption. They did that when Brazil won, they cried corruption. But the fact is that England, in as much as they have one of the best domestic leagues in the Barclays Premier League, they have substandard stadiums, most of them. Even with Liverpool, Anfield, substandard. Very few of the top clubs there have stadiums that can host World Cup games. So they will need to improve the infrastructure in terms of stadiums to be able to adequately host the World Cup.
Arnold, good point.
So they're always complaining. But the what I see is Michel Platini and UEFA and the Europeans, their argument is that they should be the dominant player with regards to FIFA because the West arguably inject more money into FIFA and so forth. So that has been Platini's goal, to wrest control of FIFA and have UEFA and the rest of Europe be the dominant force in FIFA.
You know what? You bring up a good point. I think Michel Platini, a lot of people don't think he's the man to replace him. A lot of people... This is interesting because so many people have been close to Sepp Blatter and been on his side, and now with him out, they want to replace him. So it's really tough for people to figure out how close Platini was, how close all these candidates were, and if a new person's in charge. That will be sorted out over the next 4 to 5 months. Prince Ali bin Al Hussein, he's the favorite, according to Lords, the betting house in England. But I think any time corruption charges do come down, go back to your previous point, Arnold, it's natural for some of the big powers to look at it that way. I mean, look at Brazil. You talk about stadiums. The one in Brasilia was built. It's no longer in use. Saw on last week tonight that it's being used as a bus parking lot. So all of this is tied together. You build a stadium. Someone in that city makes money off it. The corrupt officials make money off it. Everyone has a good day. Everyone fattens their bank account, and then the stadium is left. So it's not necessarily an issue of accusing others. It's plain as day, stadium is no longer in use.
But listen, the thing is, for the most part, just about every country that will have to upgrade the facility when you want to host the World Cup, your infrastructure, no matter how you look at it. But the point is, these guys, I don't encourage corruption, but during Blatter's reign, the rest of the world, especially smaller countries in Africa, Eurasia, and other places, Asia and other places, have been more participative in FIFA than ever before. Africa got more countries to qualify. And they were able to host the World Cup in South Africa. You alluded to $150 million in bribes. No, that's the total of bribes that is alleged by the DOJ. I think South Africa only said $10 million or so. But corruption has been there on the line for the longest. I mean, for years and years and years. So that is a portion of it, but I think the ultimate goal was to break the back of the Blatter's administration wrest control of FIFA from him, and then influence FIFA, have the Europeans have their way going forward. And that's gonna be wrong. That's will probably change FIFA for the worse, not for the better, because once you start limiting participation, full participation from other countries around the world, or revert to what it was before years ago, 15, 20 years ago, it's gonna hurt FIFA a lot, because soccer, as opposed to other sports, it's a world sport, worldwide, the largest sport ever around the world by far. So you cannot, the dynamics are different with other sports. You can't limit smaller countries because of revenue.
Hey, we lost you, but thank you for your call, Arnold, and we appreciate the point. Two sort of contrarian viewpoints from what many people have been talking about today, that, you know, this may not be the best day in terms of what's next. But let's bring on Glenn Davis live from Vancouver. Glenn, a busy day. And, you know, I opened the show tonight and I thought it would be almost universal excitement over Sepp Blatter's resignation. But our first two callers tonight both expressed skepticism about the future, skepticism about the corruption charges. What do you think of those sentiments, and what are your overall thoughts on what happened today?
Well, you know, Matt, first of all, thank you for hosting the show in my absence. I loved Arnold's call. I loved his passion. I like the points that he's making. Listen, I think anytime these situations occur, there are positive things that occur organically. Yes, the sport has been taken into other countries around the world. We could make an argument, is South Africa really better? And did the trickle-down from that World Cup actually get down to football in that country and make it a better place to be? We could say the same about Brazil. So I think these are, in some ways, completely different arguments or points maybe that Arnold was making. You know, it's a different situation. I mean, today was very interesting because on Friday we had a very defiant Sepp Blatter. A guy said that he was going to steer the offshore ship back in, which I found kind of comical. And then he goes off into his speech today trying to focus in on his exit strategy. And his exit strategy is how am I going to go out leaving my legacy in the correct place? I can go out defiant. Everybody is going to know that the noose is tightened now, and that likely the FBI is getting closer to potentially arresting him. But I found it, you know, incredibly interesting that he would all of a sudden begin, you know, to have a revelation and talk about term limits, and that the executive committee and the amount of people on it need to be reduced, and the organization should be more about the top and not allowing confederations to do so much, and all this care for FIFA. It sounded like a forlorn lover to me. And then in the end he says what matters is football. And I don't believe that's what mattered to him. It doesn't mean football was a vehicle for self-adulation, I think avariciousness, greed. You know, I always cite the story about Jack Warner in Trinidad and Tobago, who, you know, has his name on all kinds of training facilities in Trinidad and Tobago. And, of course, you know the story. Randy Waldrum of the Houston Dash took over the Trinidad and Tobago national team because they needed a coach. And they get to the United States, and here's Jack Warner, who's taken millions personally, has funneled World Cup tickets and travel through his son's travel agency. I mean, it goes on and on. And, you know, Trinidad and Tobago's women get here, and they don't have any money for a hotel or food, so they're having to lobby online to pay for them. Now, that's the example I would give to Arnold of, no, it doesn't get back to the people always.
Yep.
And that happens in politics as well. These deeds of goodwill, sometimes there's no path for where the money gets back to the people, and it just goes back into the hands of corruption. So, look, I'm not an expert on this, but it's a fascinating change of direction from this guy who Friday was defiant, even took a few pokes at the European Federation and, you know, and everybody in UEFA and England. And this is long overdue, I think. It's 17 years of this. It's a process of change that's been needed. How does FIFA go, and why wouldn't anybody be skeptical of what the future holds? Because, like in small countries and third world countries around the world, one dictator leaves and another comes in to continue the pillage. So let's see what happens. He was defiant, taking his fifth term last Friday. He sure changed, didn't he? And, you know, what I think is refreshing out of this for me being in Vancouver is, in a couple days, the Women's World Cup starts, and there is a purity and there is an excitement about taking it right back down to the level of what happens on the field. And the women do that in a little bit different way than the men, and it's almost as though this tournament is positioned perfectly after all this stuff with Sepp Blatter and all these guys who have been on the take. And by the way, Jerome Valk was supposed to be here and address all of us up here at sort of a convention or kind of a meeting in a hotel, and I guess he's not coming now either based on what's sort of gone down with him being tied into all this as well, which, you know, look, this doesn't – who does this surprise? Anybody, really? This is not surprising.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Good symbolism. He's been so sexist, if you will, with the women not helping him out in the charge to get actual grass at the tournament up there. All the games will be played on turf. He made those remarks previously about if they wore tighter shorts, maybe interest would increase. So after all of his comments, only fitting that – you know, 4 or 5 days before the big tournament up in Canada, I'm sure a lot of female soccer players are smiling wide with the announcement today.
Yeah, look, the evidence is mounting. I mean, I think I said this last week on some other shows that this is just the beginning. These are people that live as untouchables, entitled. You know, they find ways to avoid or lessen the impact of corruption. That's what I think he's doing on the way out is trying to protect some of his legacy, you know, of taking the game around the world. Sometimes those were good decisions, sometimes they weren't. I still don't, you know, we understand why the thing ended up in Qatar. You know, there was no football thought going into that one. The average temperature was 120 degrees. Then he wanted to change to playing the World Cup at different time periods. People who petitioned to try and win it for their countries then said, "Well, we put a proposal together based on a summer World Cup, not a winter World Cup." So it's been disastrous. I don't think it's going to be easy to get things fixed up, but maybe you get somebody in there now that can bring a little bit of integrity and respect back to it and, you know, move the sport forward. I don't think there's ever, with the amount of money changing hands, I don't think you're ever going to eliminate corruption, but you can put a finger on it. You can control it, I think. And, you know, you hope one day that you seek out the right people. But it's an incredible example of, you know, how politically, you know, the entire world pretty much didn't like this guy. The soccer people didn't like him, the players, the coaches, the clubs. Most people really weren't in his corner. The people that were in his corner were the vital ones that kept him in the job. And they're the ones who are reaping the benefits, either politically or financially. So it's stunning. It's interesting. It's interesting for me to be here in Vancouver around a FIFA event at this time.
Yeah, interesting. Glenn Davis joining us from Vancouver, British Columbia. He'll be calling a total of 6 Women's World Cup games beginning Monday with Ecuador and Cameroon. You go back to Sepp Blatter, Glenn, and how everyone disliked him, but he didn't really seem to want to acknowledge it. I found it fascinating. They were re-airing the E60 piece with Jeremy Schapp, where they went to his hometown and showed it, and I was baffled with how he's treated there. He's treated like, you know, the amazing son. He goes to a bakery and they have a bread inspired by him named after FIFA, and there's schools named after him and all these people telling him he's great. And of course, within FIFA, everyone wants to gain power and gain influence, so they're telling him he's great. So in his insular bubble, he may feel like a person that's worthy of a Nobel Prize, which is what he wanted to attain at some point. But it's another example of a lot of people that, you know, outside of their own circle, they're vilified, but they don't seem to want to believe it.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see what they think of you know, him now. And a lot of people will continue to breed the loyalty. And you've also heard from some countries that there are people still loyal to him, because it's almost like a drug lord in a country that controls a country through the distribution of wealth and money. And as long as that keeps coming, that keeps people's support. And for some people, that's the way they have to go because they don't have resources.
Glenn Davis joining us from Canada. Let's get to the Women's World Cup. I know you were blown away by the presentation from Fox yesterday and what they want to do. And, you know, it's a good arms race in the best possible way for the viewer. You have ESPN and Fox, the two major sports networks that have competed for the rights to many sporting events, including soccer. And ESPN has set the bar so high. We saw it with the Men's World Cup last year in Brazil and all the resources they put into it. And it sounds like, from what you heard on the ground yesterday, Fox really wants to match or exceed that beginning on Saturday in Vancouver.
Well, Matt, let's first put this in perspective. What we've always needed in the United States is competition between networks for soccer content. So we finally developed that. Major League Soccer got a $90 million deal done with a couple of networks. So you now have, you know, you have ESPN, you got Fox, you got NBC, you got beIN Sport. You got these companies now competing for the rights to all of this. So this is good, and you hope the trickle down effect helps our professional leagues here, and who knows, even goes down in some form or fashion to the grassroots of the game. But it's interesting because when ESPN had the last World Cup, they could have, knowing it's their last one for quite some time, they could have mailed it in. They went all out, put on a wonderful show, created amazing sets in Brazil, did incredible pieces. It's exactly what's going to happen here. It'll be the first time a women's World Cup has 52 games live. This will be probably the best ever coverage and largest ever coverage, and I would imagine viewership of a women's sporting event, this tournament. There'll be 200 hours of coverage. It's about 6 to 7 hours every day. They've built an amazing set that rotates so that they can have a backdrop of the mountains and the water in downtown Vancouver. It's called Jackpool Plaza. You know, just to put it in perspective, 52 games live. The last Women's World Cup had 32 live. It's an expanded field of 24 teams now. 16 will advance out of six groups of four. There are a number of newbies in the tournament, but Canada's seemingly, I mean, really pumped for this. I mean, I've seen the Houston Dash player, Aaron McLeod, and others in the newspaper repeatedly on TV. So if you're a women's soccer fan, and we know people come out of the woodwork during a women's event for the U.S.'s and the Canada's and the Germany's, this is going to be pretty spectacular. There's 30 different, you know, commentators and analysts involved in this. I mean, I feel very privileged and honored to be a part of this group. But it's going to be exciting. I can't wait to start seeing the games and things happening on the field. But the build-up, the energy put into this, the time that's been put in before, some of the pieces are amazing. We got a preview of some of the pieces yesterday. There's one on Megan Rapinoe that's amazing, and other girls from around the world that, you know, it's fascinating, the storylines here. And again, I say there is a purity to the women's game, you know. You don't see all the professional fouls like you do in the men's game. So there's a lot to look forward to here.
Well, Glenn, stay with us. We want to take a break, but we have you on for at least one more segment. All we have to get to tonight is Tom Marshall from ESPN FC, covers the game in Mexico. And then person that will be your partner coming up, Christine Latham, we'll have her on to close the show. But we have plenty of time to talk soccer with you from Vancouver, so hope you can stick around for at least one more segment.
Sounds good, Matt. Let's do it. Come on, Soccer Matters. Let's get some calls rolling here for Matt Peterson. Come on.
Yeah, and just because Glenn's on doesn't mean we're not taking calls. We want to take calls. Me, you, and Glenn, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Do you agree with Arnold? Do you agree with Novo? What are your thoughts on the resignation of Sepp Blatter? More Soccer Matters after this.